There's a story told of a minister who preached on this very passage one Sunday. You've got to love one another. And he began to spell out what the opposite of that was and said, you know, among you here in this church, there must be no gossiping, no backbiting, no nastiness, no arguments one with another. No, you've got to love one another. Fair enough. Next Sunday came around, and he stood up and preached exactly the same sermon. Word for word, the same sermon. Now, there were some folk in the congregation who had listened the week before, and they were kind of glancing around at each other, saying, is that the same as last week? But they loved their minister, and he was getting on in years a bit, and so they thought, he's just forgotten. No problem. But when he preached the sermon again the third week, the same sermon, word for word, you've got to love one another. No gossiping, no nastiness, no arguing among yourselves. At that, the congregation were gathering in little groups outside afterwards. And together they decided, somebody is going to have to say something to him. So the session clerk was picked out, who usually gets the nasty jobs to do. And the session clerk was told, you are going to have to go speak to him and tell him, you've given us that sermon 3 weeks in a row. So, plucking up courage, the clerk did that. Went to the minister and said, I don't want to be rude, but you have now preached the same sermon 3 weeks in a row. And the minister said, yes, and I'm going to keep on preaching it until you do it. I'm going to keep on preaching the same sermon about loving one another until you have heard it and actually make it real. Wow. That will get your attention. Well, if you were to stop and read the whole of John's letter, you would get the impression that he's doing the same thing. He just keeps repeating it again and again. You've got to love one another. There's a wonderful report of St. Jerome, who was one of the original, one of the great church fathers, who grew up in the church where John was. And the story that Jerome reports is this, that even when John had got too old and feeble, actually, to stand and preach to the church, he never gave up telling them just that one thing. You've got to love one another. And in this church, it's going to be the same. I'll never get tired or give up of declaring that truth that we have got to love one another. Love is the glue that holds everything together. Loving one another is what distinguishes us from the way it is in the world. I'm not saying there's no love in the world, of course there is. But that nastiness, that backbiting, that gossiping, well and truly that belongs in the world and not here. Loving one another is what is to be the mark of the church. Well, as John unpacks this theme, he gives reference to Cain. Way back to the beginning of the book of Genesis, way back there in the beginning, we read of Cain who murdered his brother. Now, Cain represents the hatred of the world. Cain represents the bitterness that can come between people. And John says, don't be like that. Don't be filled with that bitterness and malice. It's Paul, it's the other apostle Paul who lists these things out for us. The jealousy, the rage, the selfishness, the dissensions. He says, all of that stuff that you will find in the world for sure, there's no room for it. It has no place here in the church. As Christians, we are called to move away from that. Not to let it take hold. As Christians, we're told that we are new creations. We're born all over again. The old has gone and something new has come in its place. And that which is new, it's got no connection with this bitterness and hatred that was in Cain. We love one another. That's the call, to love one another. I wonder if any of you remember back to last week, we were asking, what would be the evidence that would prove that I am indeed in Christ, that I'm a Christian person? What would be the evidence of that? And the first piece of evidence we said is this: if we are obedient, if we obey God's commands, if we live as Christ did, behaving as he did, that would be evidence that we are in Christ. Well, the pinnacle of that obeying the commands, the ultimate way of being like Jesus, is when we love. If Cain represents hatred of the world, then Jesus represents love. He shows us what love is by his life and by his laying down his life in death. And he gives us the model by which we should love one another. Any of you remember back to the 80s, there was a horrible group called Foreigner, and they had a horrible song which asked the question, I want to know what love is. Really? Do you really want to know? Then look at Jesus. Because Jesus makes it abundantly clear what love is and gives us the model of how we should live. Loving one another. Okay, that's easy, isn't it? Here's the danger. It is so easy to talk about love, especially in church. I could go through the hymns and songs that are in our repertoire. I could find hundreds of them that talk about loving and loving one another and enjoying God's love. It's so easy to talk about and sing about. Way back then, John knew that. And he makes it absolutely clear. It must be real, actual, tangible. Something that is seen. In other words, we can't just talk about loving one another. It must be obvious from our actions. He gives us just one example of what he means. He says, imagine there is one among you who is materially blessed. Someone who is rich and who has plenty. If such a person becomes aware of another one in need, and if he does nothing about that, if he is not moved to do something about that, then the question would have to be asked, is God's love alive within that person at all? The implication being, if it was, then that person who was blessed materially would share and would have compassion and would reach out to the person in need. That's the litmus test. Is God's love alive within you? Then it will show itself in the way that you love one another. Talking about it means zilch, nothing. Love, in the tenth sense. Doing it is what we're called to. Showing one another our love. You know, this is why here at St. Andrew's we give prominence to reaching out ministries, to practically supporting those who are in need, whether that's locally or globally in the world. It's why we have our ministry in Malawi. We're caring for others. We're showing our love. It's not just talk, it's what we do. Now, those kids in Malawi are our brothers and sisters in the broadest sense. But note this. Very specifically, John was referring to relationships within the church. So it is great that we reach out into the world to those who don't belong, and that we show love. We're called to do that. But not instead of loving one another. And I want to suggest to you that showing our love for those we will never meet is a much easier thing than loving those people who we have to rub shoulders with day by day and week by week. So we don't love those who are far off as a get-out clause. We're called to do that. But John is talking about loving one another right here in this very family. And that's what we are called to do. It's tough because when you've been around people long enough, you know all the things about those other people that kind of rub you up the wrong way. People who just kind of annoy you. People you don't instinctively warm to. Now, you see, take for instance the boy, the boy at the front who's kind of sticking his tongue out. Well, some of our Malawi team might well know exactly who that is, I'm not sure. But for most of us, well, we never will. I can say I love him and I'm going to play my part in the Malawi ministry that we have. I'm going to show by my actions, by the giving of my financial resources, I'm going to show that I love him. That's easy. Easy peasy. It's harder loving you lot. Because I know you. John calls us to love one another. I've got to start that right where we are, here in the church. Caring, helping, showing that in very practical ways. And there are opportunities. You know, someone who does not have their own transport, turns out they've got to go back and forward to Nine Wells for 4 weeks every day. What are we going to let happen? They have to go in the bus? We show that we love one another by arranging transport, by giving lifts and cars, and that's the kind of thing that we do here at the church. And we can replicate that time and again. There are those among us who are struggling even now, more than others because of the financial climate. Are we somehow going to find ways in which we can practically show that we care? Ways in which we can be there for each other? One of the writers that I've spoken plenty of in recent times, one of the commentators on these biblical passages, is John Stott. And he talks a lot about being together. It says that Christians, authentic followers of Jesus, hunger for Christian fellowship. They delight in being together to worship and to pray and to talk together about spiritual matters. That's true. But it's not the whole story. Authentic followers of Jesus Christ love one another in very, very practical ways. If there's no evidence of it, then talking about it is cheap. John finishes up with this. If that describes you, this loving one another and putting that into action, then you can set your heart at rest. What does he mean by that? He means that if you are indeed loving one another, if that's your life, if that describes the way that you are, then you can be assured that the love of God is actually in you. You can be assured that Christ himself is alive within you. And that the evidence of that is the way you are with your brothers and sisters. It's the outworking, in other words, of Jesus in you. Contrarily, if a close look in the mirror reveals to you that loving your brothers and sisters here in the church is not really something that you're doing much of, then you would have to ask yourself, am I going to have to open my heart more to let more of God's love into me? We can't properly start to love one another until we have allowed God to properly love us. So, let me make a promise to you today. You'll get this sermon again sometime. Okay, not next week. But it will come back. Again. And again, this theme, love one another. Not just talk, not just something to sing about, but something to do. Let's pray.